Let's open our Bibles once more to Mark chapter 6. As Christians, we know what it's like that at certain important times in our life, certain verses in the Bible really mean a lot to us. They just seem to come alive as the voice of God speaking to us in our time of need. Perhaps you've experienced that when you prayed for guidance, and then as you studied the Bible, a certain verse just answered your question for you. Or when you were troubled about assurance, whether you truly are a believer, and you'd wrestled with doubts, and then God gave you a breakthrough with maybe one verse in particular, a promise that you said, yes, I really am a child of God. Or when you were hurting very deep down and you received heavenly comfort from one verse, perhaps it was in the Psalms. Many of you can testify to such experiences where God came to you with a certain verse that was just the right one. Today, I want to bring you a message about such a verse that meant a lot to me in the hospital recently. When I was there in the hospital for 2 weeks, this verse just kept coming back to my mind, and God fed my soul and comforted me with that verse, and I wanted to share that with you today. It's a good verse to remember. God uses His Word to feed us and to lead us, and He will remind us of these verses in our time of need. So, brethren, read your Bible every day. Memorize certain verses so that in those times of need, God can bring those verses out of your memory and into your mind and into your heart right when you need them. And likewise, we can share these sort of verses with other people in their time of need. When you know someone that's going through a trial or an emergency, and you want to go help the person, you may wonder, what's the key verse that I can share with him? Pray. And then may God prepare you with just one verse in particular. From time to time, I've had that happen to me when I was grieving or hurting. And someone will say, you know, here's a verse that meant a lot to me when I was in a similar situation. Well, let's also do the same thing for others and go prepared and also go prepared with a heart filled with grace or compassion or wisdom in their time of need. You see, it's better to share these verses than to share simply our opinions or our personal stories. Let's share God's Word. And this morning I'll be sharing God's Word to you in one verse in particular. It's found here in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. What I'm going to do is concentrate on that one short phrase that's in the middle of a sentence that introduces one of Christ's greatest miracles. And we often skip to the miracle and miss what was in the heart of Jesus when he did the miracle. And so this morning, based upon this phrase, I want to share 3 points with you. And the first point is this: Christ was compassionate to those that were in need. Verse 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." He was moved with compassion for the multitudes. Now the setting is that Jesus is doing these miracles early in his 3-year ministry. The crowds are gathering. Word has gotten around that he heals. Not just does he do it free, but he can heal anything. So people are coming from far and wide. You see, they didn't have much medicine, very few doctors, and no hospitals back then. So people were desperate, and they said, even if it's only a rumor, I'm going to go. He just might heal me. So these huge crowds are gathering and following him, and we're told earlier they'd been following him for several days, huge crowds, and now the food is beginning to run out. Often in the Gospels, we find that these huge the crowds are gathering, and the greater part of them are people that need healing. And they're hurting, and they're bringing their friends and relatives with them that are also like this. Can you picture this? These huge crowds, and they're kind of jostling to get close to Jesus, saying, "Lord, heal me, please." And another person says, "No, no, me, I was here first." And another one, "No, I've been hurt longer than you." And you can just hear in their cries their desperation. And we're told here that Jesus saw the multitudes. We're told that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. You can do the math. There are going to be at least 15,000 people there. That's a lot of people. And Jesus saw the multitudes, but he also saw each and every one. He had the capacity as God to not just see a crowd, but each individual in the crowd. Have you ever seen a crowd of people that are hurting and in great need? You ever sat in the doctor's office and looked around and looked at the expressions on people's faces? Sometimes a person is worried. Are they going to feel better? Or you'll see the agony on their face. Have you ever sat in the waiting room of an emergency room or a cancer ward? So Jesus saw the multitude, and he saw the physically hurting. There would be lame people that were on crutches or that had been carried by their families. There would be deaf people, blind people, diseased people, demon-possessed people. And Jesus saw them all. Some of them had been afflicted for many, many years. Gospel of John records a man that had been afflicted for 38 years, and then Jesus healed him. And then there is a woman in the gospel that had been afflicted for 12 years, and Jesus healed her. You know, that's a long time to have the same affliction. Others had been recently afflicted or wounded. Some were minor ailments. Other ones were major afflictions, blindness, lameness. One man, we're told in the gospel, was paralyzed for his whole life. Then some of them would have been children, young children. Can you just picture a father carrying a little child in his arms, or a mother leading a little toddler in pain, and they're bringing them to Jesus for help? There would have been elderly people that were not as young and strong as they had been, and now they're developing some affliction because of their old age, and they came maybe with a cane stooped over to Jesus to be healed. At the back of the crowd, there would even be some Gentiles that probably wouldn't feel welcome, but they'd stay at the back of the crowd. Jesus healed Gentiles. Then there were the spiritually hurting. Oh, their bodies were well. Maybe they had bags of money, but there'd be people that would be lonely, and they'd hear Jesus speak, and they would say, "Nobody ever spoke like that. It's as if he knows just what's going on in my heart." And there's just something about what he says that says he cares for people like me. People that had been depressed, that would weep at night. People that were afraid. And then there would be people that would come that were racked with a heavy load of guilt. Men that had committed adultery. There'd be criminals that had not been caught and that they felt the guilt. And for some strange reason, they felt a tug in their heart to come to Jesus with their spiritual burdens. And they'd hear Jesus, and they'd sit there on the grass, entranced by every word he said and how he said it. And they said, "This man is special. I've got to hear more about him." So these were the people that made up this huge crowd. And Jesus saw each and every one of them. He saw their hearts as well as their bodies. Matthew 9:30 says that he was moved with compassion for them, for they were weary. They'd been traveling around and were running out of food. They were tired, but they still didn't leave. Mark says that he felt compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so they were vulnerable, like sheep that, you know, the wolves could attack. And some of these people had already been attacked, as it were, by afflictions. And Jesus now comes to them as the good shepherd. And he did something. Matthew 14 says Jesus then would heal many of them. That's why they came. Mark says that he also sat down and taught them because they needed to be taught. And he fed them. What we're told by comparing the Gospels is that Jesus met all the different kinds of needs, physical and spiritual, because he saw their needs, he had compassion, he cared, and he acted. And when you read the four Gospels, you find out that's exactly the pattern. Read it, and I like to say, catch the mood and sense the emotion of what was going on in Jesus' heart. For example, when Jesus met the hypocritical Pharisees, we're told that he was filled with anger at them, often because they had no compassion. There was one occasion where the crowds brought a man to Jesus that had a withered up arm. It was kind of like this. He couldn't even move. And Jesus was healing him on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees complained about that. Look it up, and it says Jesus was filled with anger at them because of the hardness of their heart. So when you read about these accounts, sense what was going on in Jesus' heart. And repeatedly we're told that when the people came to Jesus for healing, he was moved with compassion for them. Mark 1 records one of his earliest healings. Right there in the synagogue, it says a man came in that had leprosy. Can you imagine this awful skin disease covering him? And people would stay away from him. He didn't sense any hugs anymore from people. But Jesus, it says, quote, Jesus, moved with compassion, healed him. Mark chapter 5 records another such miracle. There was this wild man living out in the hills, naked and dangerous and screaming half out of his mind. He was demon-possessed. And people had tried to lock him up with chains. They said, he's a wild man. Put him in prison. Put him in an insane asylum. They just saw some wild, dangerous man. But we're told that when Jesus saw him, he had compassion on the man. And when the man ran down the hill threatening Jesus, Jesus still had compassion and cast all the demons out, because Jesus saw what other people didn't see. And he still sees that when he sees people today. Luke 7 records another such occasion. Jesus interrupted a little funeral procession of a little boy that had died. Now we're moved for that, but it says that Jesus had compassion on the mother who was a widow. The father had died, and now she's thinking, my only son has gone. And she's all alone in the world, walking in this procession, probably with black clothing on, weeping her heart out. And we're told these words: when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Jesus still feels compassion for widows. You know, the Bible says God has a special compassion for widows. And I'd also add for widowers. He feels for them. And he steps in. And in this occasion, he raised a little boy from life and gave him back to the mother. That's compassion. Then there was Matthew 20. When the large crowds were there, all crying out to be healed, there were two blind men at the back crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us, have mercy. They were crying out. And though there were hundreds of people crying out, Jesus heard those two men, and he separated the crowd, walked right up to them, and we're told he had compassion on them. And out of the compassion, he touched their eyes and healed them. Well, we could go on and on. John's Gospel said that the Gospels record only a few of the miracles. But do you see the pattern? When Jesus saw those that were hurting, he had compassion and he healed them. He's the great physician. Now, when you've been in pain and go to the doctor, have you ever had a broken arm? And the doctor says, well, let's have a look at that. And you say, oh, doc, it hurts so much. Please be gentle. Jesus was the gentlest doctor of all, because he knew and felt what people were going through. So when he would touch people to heal them, it would be so gentle so as not to cause any more pain. And perhaps there were times when people were so racked with pain, he didn't even touch them. He just simply spoke the word of healing, and the pain went away, and they were healed. Jesus was very gentle. And then there are no doubt there were other occasions when people came to Jesus, and they didn't come for healing. They were in good health, but they had a broken heart. They were grieving, they were lonely, they were depressed. And they would come to Jesus, and perhaps Jesus would say, "What can I do for you?" And the person would simply collapse in tears in the arms of Jesus. And Jesus would wipe away their tears. You see, when a person is lonely and hurting and in tears, that person knows where compassion is to be found. These people would come to Jesus as well. And Jesus felt for all of them. That's what it means when it said he had compassion for them. And Jesus felt for them in his heart even before he felt them with his hands. His heart went up to them first. You could put it like this. Jesus Christ was the kindest person the world has ever known. Now, we've known kind people. Some people are particularly marked by that. You say, "That's a kind man. That's a kind woman." Word got out about Jesus, and as they heard him speak and saw what he did, especially those that got close to Jesus, they'd say, "That's the kindest person I have ever known." A few years ago, I read about some missionary organizations that got together, and they wanted to find out what was the main thing that attracted Muslims to come and believe in Jesus and to forsake Islam. So they interviewed them and they prepared some questionnaires, and they said, "This is all going to be anonymous." And then they compared the interviews and the questionnaires, and they said the number one thing that attracted Muslims to Jesus was his compassion. You see, Islam has very little compassion. Their God is a God of thunder and lightning, but very little mercy. And so these Muslims would often say, "Jesus was a lot different than Muhammad. Muhammad swung swords, but Jesus touched people and healed them." And in their misery and in their pain, they said, "We like this Jesus." And they started reading the Gospels, and they said, "We want to believe in him, not Muhammad." Now, when Jesus did all this, he revealed the very nature of God to us. Jesus is both God and man. So when Jesus did this, he was revealing the compassion of God. Not just in his humanity, Jesus showed it in his deity. Now, let me make a fine theological point on this. Jesus was showing in everything he did and said and felt the heart of God the Father. Recently, I've been communicating with a young man that has unfortunately been attracted to hyper-Calvinism. Now, I know all about hyper-Calvinism. It's what my PhD dissertation was on. I am a 5-point Calvinist. I am not a 6-point Calvinist. 6-point Calvinist would be the hyper-Calvinist that says God does not have a common grace on all people. He has nothing but wrath for the non-elect. He has no pity, no love, no grace on them whatsoever. And I've had to say to this young man, what do you do with Jesus? He looked at the multitudes that included elect and non-elect, and he had compassion on all of them. And this young man wrote back to me and said, "Well, that was just in Jesus' humanity, not his deity." And I said, "You missed the whole mystery of the two natures of Jesus. In both his deity and his humanity, Jesus had compassion on the multitudes." Jesus is showing us the compassion of God. God is compassionate. Got out my concordance and I found 4 verses in the Psalms that says God is full of compassion. James 5:11 says the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And then we find this is one of the leading points in one of the most popular stories that Jesus told, the parable of the prodigal son. You've all heard that. But again, you'll miss the heart of that story if you overlook one little phrase. You know the story. A young man had basically said to the father, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Give me my inheritance now." And so the father gave it to him, and the young man ran off to another city, squandered all the money on liquor and prostitutes. And then when the money ran out, the friends ran out, and he had to feed the hogs. And then he was in rags, and he remembered the Father, and he came back to the Father. But look it up in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. It says, when he's walking down the road, the Father saw him, and it says he saw him and had compassion on the son. The son in rags that had taken the money from the dad. And yet the Father had compassion and said, my son. And he ran out there and welcomed him with open arms because he had compassion. That's the heart of God. That's what Jesus is saying in that parable. A few years ago, I told that story and preached on it at the nursing home ministry. And at the back of the room, there was a man, 94 years old, had hardly ever been to church. And there he was with big tears coming down from both eyes. And he came to me and he hugged me. He says, what a wonderful story. Oh, a father welcomed the son home. And I said, that's wonderful. But I said, you know, we're the prodigal son. And God is the father that welcomes him back, us home with compassion. And he says, I've never thought of it like that. And I said, George, God wants to welcome you home with arms of compassion. About a year ago, I shared the story of the prodigal son with a much younger man that I know here in Springfield. Again, he doesn't go to church and he had never heard this story. So I had the wonderful opportunity of telling him the parable of the prodigal son. And when I came to the point where the young man said, I want the money, Dad. Can't wait for you to die. That young man said, wow, man, hard-hearted kid. And I said, he squandered the money on liquor and prostitutes. And when he came back, the father ran to meet him. And that young man, literally his jaw dropped and his eyes said, what? And I said, what did you think the father was going to say? He says, I thought the father was going to go out there with the stick and call the cops on the young man and say, get out of here, you know, son of mine. And he said, you mean the father welcomed him? I said, yes, Dan. And I said, the point of the story, Dan, is God is compassionate. And he's got arms that will welcome anybody home. And I said, Dan, he will welcome you home too. God is a God of compassion. Now this is part of God's common grace. The text says that Jesus looked at the miracles. God does have a general love for all men everywhere. But he also has a special compassion for his children. Like a doctor that will take care of all of his patients. But he will have a special care if that patient is his little girl. The Bible speaks about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness and the pity of God, and also the compassion of God. Now in the text here, as you know, is written in Greek, and the gospel writers were inspired by God to use a very interesting and colorful verb for to have compassion. It's a Greek word, splodgizomai. A little hard to say, a little harder to write. Literally, it means to feel for someone from your inner organs. Splodgizomai is the word from which we get the word spleen, one of your internal organs. The Hebrews will say you feel for someone either in your heart or in your kidneys. The Greeks would say you feel for someone from your intestines, your bowels. And the New Testament uses that phrase, bowels of mercy, where you feel for someone even physically. Richard Sibbes, one of the great Puritans, wrote a book on this called Bowels of Mercy. And many, many years later, someone donated that book to a British library, and the librarian looked at the title page, Bowels of Mercy, and she put it in the wrong section of the library. She put it in the medical anatomy section of the library. The point is, when we feel for someone in compassion, we even feel it physically. For example, when you're in love, your heart races, or you breathe faster, or when you feel something emotionally, your stomach turns. You sometimes feel it like that. And so that's what this word means. When Jesus saw all these people, he felt for them spiritually, and even physically he felt for them. It's been translated in a variety of ways. King James, New King James, and others translate, he was moved with compassion. The Jerusalem Bible renders it, he had pity on them. The J.B. Phillips version says his heart was touched. New English Bible says his heart went out to them. And another one says his heart was filled with pity for them. So you get the feel for this. Jesus saw them. He felt for them, both spiritually and physically. And he acted. He healed them. Now there's more to this. Let me show you an interesting thing in the Gospel of Matthew. So keep your hand in Mark, but turn to Matthew chapter 8. He alludes to something back into Isaiah 53:4, but Isaiah 63:9 says, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. What does that mean? Look at Matthew chapter 8. Again, similar to this other section. It says, verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now that's taken from Isaiah 53, the great prophecy about Jesus, the Messiah. Now we know from various places in Scripture that Jesus forgives our sins because he took our sins upon himself and suffered for them at the cross. But Matthew, under the guidance of the Spirit, takes that same promise and applies it to Jesus' healing ministry, not just his forgiving ministry. What is he saying? As Jesus took our sins upon himself and suffered for them, would it not also be true to say that Jesus healed people of their afflictions because he took those afflictions upon himself at the cross and suffered for them? He could heal them because he would later suffer for them. All of them. And I think Matthew saw that and says this is being fulfilled even before the cross. You could say it's the shadow of the cross. As Jesus suffered for our sins and therefore forgave people, he also suffered our physical afflictions at the cross, and both before and after the cross could apply that healing power to people. Let me give you an illustration, perhaps a little trite, but I think it captures the import of this. When I was a child, I used to like to watch the old TV show Star Trek, and they still show it on television, I understand. But one episode stands out. It was the one about the woman that was called the empath. And she had this unusual ability to really empathize with people. And so the three officers on the show, they were put on this planet in this big room with her. And there were two people on the planet that were watching, and they were testing the woman. So what they did was, they would afflict the officers and they'd bruise them and hurt them and see what the woman would do. So they did something first with Kirk, and Kirk, the captain, who was real strong and macho, and he was tortured. And the woman came up to him and you could see it on her face. She felt for him. And then she reached out and touched him. And the wounds that were on him were transferred to her. And then she felt them. And then the wounds disappeared from her and the captain. And then she did that to the doctor when he was about to die. Very moving. Whenever I see that episode, tears come to my eyes because I think that's what Jesus did. He could heal us because he transformed not only our sins, but all of our afflictions to him at the cross. And therefore, he can heal us. He feels for us. The Bible says in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Now for our second point this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And the second point is this. Jesus is still compassionate to us in our time of need. It wasn't just back then when he walked the streets of Israel. It's now. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is one of the themes of the middle chapters of the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Continuing to chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Oh, here's a golden verse. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. What's he saying? Jesus is our high priest, the high priest, and he made the ultimate sacrifice when he sacrificed himself upon the altar of the cross. But a high priest has to be qualified, and the author is saying Jesus was qualified. He can sympathize, he can have compassion, because he also suffered. We're told that he knows what it's like to be tempted. He was tempted, but he didn't give in. He knows what it's like when we are tempted. But he also senses our weaknesses. He suffered. Of course he suffered on the cross, but he suffered so many other things. He suffered misunderstanding, having friends turn on him, even having family misunderstand him. He suffered spiritually and physically, and therefore he can sympathize. No, he did not suffer exactly every single affliction that we do. He was never blind. He never suffered the internal pain of going through a divorce. But he did suffer deeper than any of us ever will. He went deeper into the well than we ever do. Therefore, he can have sympathy and compassion, not exactly as we do, but because he has suffered more, and he suffered that brunt of temptation, and he came out ahead. Therefore, he can sympathize and have compassion. Now, there's a difference between those two. Sympathy is when you realize someone is suffering. Compassion is when you go the extra step. Sadly, there are people today that have neither sympathy nor compassion. There are some people that will have sympathy. They'll say, I know what you're going through. But they don't have any compassion. But praise the Lord, Jesus has both sympathy and compassion. He can sympathize and he can have compassion. You know, there's an old word based upon this that's hardly used anymore. I heard A.W. Tozer preach a sermon on this. And he says Jesus had mercy, and he said Jesus compassionated people. So he said he had compassion. He had it in the form of a verb. And I think Tozer was right. Jesus showed this compassion, and he still does. He had compassion on all the multitudes, and Jesus still does today. He has a compassion on believers and unbelievers, but he has a special compassion for his children. Now let's apply that to us today. We are in the multitude, and Jesus feels compassion for each and every one of us, whatever our need is, physical or spiritual. And he not only sees it, he feels it for us. He sees us in particular, you by name, when you hurt, when you suffer. Our Jesus has compassion on you in particular, when you really hurt. When you're racked with physical pain, when you're sick in bed, when you're in the hospital, or going through an emotional heartache, divorce, fear, all sorts of emotional turmoil, even depression, worry. Jesus sees your tears. Do you know that? He sees every tear that comes from your eyes. He sees and he cares. David knew about this. David was a man given to tears. You know, David was such a strong, powerful man, not only killing giants like Goliath, but boy, you read about the heart of David, and he's crying out literally, and he says in the Bible sometimes that he says, I have made tears in my bed. But there's a precious verse where David said to God, you have stored up my tears in your bottle. Isn't that precious? As if God counted every one of them and says, David, your tears are so special, I'm going to save them. That's a promise for you too. When you weep, Jesus is right there having compassion on every single tear. You know, we sang a hymn just a little while ago, and it was chosen for us because it has this line in it. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Isn't that true? Some of you can testify to that. In your pain, in your heartache, Jesus has been there because he sees and he cares. And what's more, the Bible says that God visits his people with compassion. What does that mean? He manifests his presence. Though he is everywhere, God chooses to manifest his presence at special times. And when we're really hurting, that's when he comes and visits us. It's almost as if when you are racked with pain, you can sense the compassionate Jesus sitting right there next to you in your bed. And he manifests it. Let me show you another precious verse on the compassion of God. Turn with me to the little book of Lamentations, and I'll give you a moment to find it. We don't often read Lamentations. It's right after Jeremiah and right before Ezekiel. Now, these two verses are the basis of the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That was my mother's favorite hymn. But listen to what it says here, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassions never fail. Never fail, dear brethren, because he has backed it up with the promise of covenantal love. Now, there's another incident in the life of Jesus that we can apply to ourselves in this realm, and it's this. In Mark chapter 9, a father brought a little boy to Jesus. The boy was demon-possessed, and the father was weeping and says, Jesus, do something. This demon throws him into the water, into the fire, and this man comes to Jesus with tears, begging for help, and he says this. He says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice he said us, not just the boy. He says, have compassion on me and the boy. The lesson we can learn is when we are going through a major affliction, physical or spiritual, go to Jesus, like this man did. And the second application is if you know someone else that is going through a major affliction, go to Jesus on his behalf and plead with Jesus. And Jesus acted in this occasion. And he cast out the demon, and so he did show compassion on the boy and the father. Now, Jesus does not always heal us today. He has reasons, and we leave that to him. But here's another golden lesson. Oh, brethren, don't miss this. Even when God chooses not to heal, he still will give the comfort of compassion to his hurting children. And another lesson is, you never really know just how compassionate Jesus Christ really is until you are really hurting and he visits you with compassion. Our third lesson this morning is this, number three, Christ wants us to be compassionate to others in need as well. Back to Mark's gospel. Before Jesus fed the 5,000, he said to the apostles, you give them something to eat. And then when Jesus broke the bread and the fishes, he gave that to them to give to the crowds. Do you see the lesson in this? He was teaching them that they too should have compassion and do something. 1 Peter 3:8 says, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Zechariah 7:9 also says this. Execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone, to his brother. Now, this is also the key lesson in another famous parable Jesus told. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, you know, the story. There's this man that was wounded by these thieves and left half dead and naked beside the road. And they went on their way with his money and his clothes. And it says a priest came by and walked on the other side of the road and didn't even want to look at that poor man left on the road. And then another religious man did the same thing. And then it said this foreigner, this Samaritan came and he saw the man on the road. Now, again, like I said in the parable of the prodigal son, look for these key little phrases that capture the essence of what's going on. In the prodigal son, it revealed the heart of the father. In the good Samaritan, it reveals the heart of Jesus, because Jesus is the good Samaritan. And it says this. It says when the Samaritan came by and looked at the man on the road, it said he had compassion on the man. And so he picked up the man, put him on the donkey, took him to the town and fed him and took care of him. The good Samaritan had compassion on this total stranger and he did something about it. And then when Jesus finished telling the story, he looked at the one man in particular that had asked about showing love and he looked at the young man and he said, "You go and do likewise." The lesson for us, brethren, is we should imitate Jesus, the Good Samaritan, and we should go and do likewise. He shows compassion to us. Let us go and show compassion to others. And in this story, the Good Samaritan was an outcast. The Jews didn't want to have anything to do with him. We should show compassion to people that are much different than us, not just to the family of God, but to those that are not Christians, unbelievers. Even the really bad people, our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. You know, it's easy to show love to fellow Christians. Not so easy to do it to people that don't like us, that are even our enemies. And in that, we need to imitate Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. Jesus didn't just love angels. Jesus loved dirty, rotten, no good sinners such as us. And he said, now you go and do the same thing. Not just love other Christians. Love unbelievers. Even love your enemies. And that's not just showing love. That's showing grace. And that's what Christians need to learn to do. Not just to show compassion and love for our families and for our fellow Christians, but to show undeserved love, undeserved mercy, undeserved compassion for those that do not like us. Has God brought anybody to your mind as I'm telling you this? Maybe someone in your family. Maybe someone that has hurt you and wounded you. Someone at work. Be like Jesus and show undeserved compassion to that person. Even to guilty people. Don't be like that priest that walked away. Be like the Good Samaritan that walked up to the person. A couple of years ago, I was at the post office mailing a whole bunch of books to these prison inmates that write to me. And some of the people there don't understand why I do this. And one of the ladies behind the counter, she got mad. She says, I don't know why you do that. Those criminals. And she got mad. She says, they ought to all rot in jail. I sensed she had probably been hurt by some criminal. And so the other lady wondered why I didn't. I said, you know, these men, and I picked up a package with one of them's name on it. I said, you know, that's somebody's son. This man, that's somebody's husband. That's some little girl's father. And these guys tell me about their families that often forsake them. And I say, yes, they're criminals, and they're probably getting less than they really deserve. But they're creatures created in the image of God, and God has compassion on them. Shouldn't we as well? Yes, they're guilty. They're dirty, rotten criminals. But, brethren, we're all dirty, rotten criminals against God. We need to show compassion. Jesus told us another parable along these lines in Matthew 18. About three men. And the middle man is the key man. It says that there was this man that owed far more money than he could ever pay back to a very rich man. And it says specifically the rich man had compassion on him and forgave him everything. But then that man went to another poor man that owed him just a little bit of pocket change, and that man couldn't pay him back. So this man who had been forgiven won't forgive the other one, so now he beats the man. Word got back to the first guy, the rich man, and he calls in the guy. He says, wait a second. I forgave you so much, and you won't forgive this other man? Listen to what Jesus said. In verse 33, he puts words into that rich man's mouth and says, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Can you get the lesson? God has had compassion on us, brethren. He has forgiven us, and He has shown compassion to us. And He wants us to do the same for others. How dare we hog the compassion and not share it with others? The incentive for us to show compassion to others is because God has showed it to us. I was once in a small meeting of some Christians, and there was a Christian that the others hadn't seen in about 20 years. And oh, there were hugs and they were telling old stories. And then later on, one of them said, you've really changed. He said, you used to be kind of aloof. And they said, you are so compassionate now. What has happened? And the man said, I've been through a lot of pain, and Christ has shown me a lot of compassion, and I just want to show His compassion with others. I just want to share it with others. He had learned that lesson. Have we learned that lesson? We need to be like Jesus. It says Jesus looked at the crowds and saw them and felt for them. We need to open our eyes and see and really see when we see people that are hurting. Give you one application. I'm not just talking about those prison inmates, but think of the people that you look at and say, boy, they are so sinful. They're breaking every law that they can imagine, every law of God. And you think of people like that, the streetwalkers, the homosexuals, the really bad people. Have you learned to see into their hearts and see beyond their sins and say, that's a person that's hurting and lonely? Look with your heart, not just your eyes, brethren. You see, an open heart will have open eyes and will have an open hand to help, like Jesus did. People that you know, your neighbors, people you know at work, or even total strangers. How do we develop this compassion? Number one, by imitating Jesus. If He was the most compassionate person the world has ever known, we should be the most compassionate person in our family or in our neighborhood or at work. Imitate Jesus. And secondly, receive Christ's compassion and share it with others. You see, God shows this compassion through people such as us. Christians should be people of compassion, so we receive it in order to share it. So when you go to a person, first load up on it and say, Lord, you've been so compassionate to me. Give me a little bit extra now to share with this person that really needs it. And hasn't He done that to you in the past? Where He has shared that compassion to you through another Christian. My mind goes back to when I was in the hospital 33 years ago, racked with pain, serious operations, and different people in the church came and visited me. And I remember one brother in particular. He was a foreign exchange student from Zimbabwe. And he was studying there. And he came and sat down there. And I'm still moved by this. He sat there and hardly said a thing. But he held my hand and he wept with me. He'd say, Kurt, I'm so sorry. And his tears came and fell down with my tears. He had compassion. And when he left, I said, Lord, thank you for him. You also came and showed me compassion through my brother. We need to be like that and be channels whereby Jesus is in us and shows compassion to others. Sadly, some Christians are as cold as ice. They lack compassion. They are like that Pharisee priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan that walked on the other side of the street. Brother and sister, are you a man or a woman of compassion? Are you one that is known for being compassionate? Do people come to you when they have needs? You see, people that are hurting will seek out a compassionate person. And our last lesson this morning is this. you were never more like Jesus Christ than when you were showing God's compassion to others. May the Lord bless these words to all of our hearts, for His name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your compassion. And we thank You for Jesus, who is all compassionate. He was compassionate then. He is compassionate now. We pray that He would go to people that we know that need that compassion. And Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have shown that mercy to us. And we know that You still will in the future, when we are hurting, when we are lonely, You will be there with compassion. And we ask that You would help us to be compassionate to others, that we too would be like Jesus. For it is in His holy name we pray. Amen.